Ephesians chapter 5. And really what I'm interested in is zeroing in on verse 14. We're going to be looking at all the verses that I read earlier in chapter 5. But I'm interested in zeroing in on verse 14, which says, "For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I've been using kind of as a outline and theme Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, which speaks of mankind's purpose for existence in the world. That purpose is that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him. And I really believe, the more I look at that text and other texts in the Bible, that this is really man's purpose for existence, that he should seek after God, and not only before conversion, but after conversion. And we're going to be looking at that aspect of things as we move through this topic a little bit. That's why God made us, that we should seek after Him. But as we've already seen, the darkness of sin which engulfs humanity makes it unnatural for people like us to seek after God. But God is gracious, and He brings upon people like us the conviction of His Holy Spirit to promote a seeking after Him. And in the process, then, of this seeking, as it is promoted by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, God may illumine our hearts to understand the glories of the gospel. And God may then, after we understand the glories of the gospel, may grant full renewal of our hearts so that we may turn to Him. He may cause us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, as Peter puts it. And all of this, it seems, most probably takes place in the process of seeking the Lord. And it's interesting because Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 lumps some of these things together. It puts conviction and illumination and the new birth, regeneration, together when it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And so it's that text that I want to zero in on. But as we do so, it seems to me that we really do need to get the context here. As a fellow said that I listened to on tape not too long ago, actually it was Jay Adams, he was talking about a disease that he calls placosis. So sometimes we have these scripture texts on wall plaques, and they're out of context sometimes. And so let's not take this text out of context, but put it in proper context. And so we look at verses 1 through 14 in Ephesians chapter 5 to get this context. It seems that Paul is wanting us as Christians to live as Christians. He's exhorting us to godly living. And in verses 1 and 2, he gives the positive. Look at that, if you would. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." There's the positive. Be imitators of God. Walk in godliness. Then in verses 3 and 4, he gives the negative. This is how you should not live. "But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." These are the things that you should not do. And it's very important, Paul says. Don't be deceived. Godly living is important. He tells us why in verse 5. "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral person or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." No immoral person is going to inherit the kingdom. We talked about this last week from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And it's very important that we should not be deceived on this point. Paul tells us this in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So don't be deceived, Paul says. You know, there is a lot of deception today in the world. People are thinking that homosexuals are going to go to heaven. People are thinking that alcoholics are going to go to heaven. People are thinking that habitual liars are going to go to heaven. It's not so. Don't be deceived on this, Paul says. It's very important. And in verse 7, he goes on saying, therefore, do not be partakers with them. You know, it's interesting that Paul is talking to a Christian church here in Ephesians. And it seems to me he's very earnest. Do not be partakers with them, he says, because this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of light and darkness. Look at verse 8. Look at what he says. For you formerly were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You can't be a partaker of darkness if you are now a child of light. You can't, Paul says. So walk as children of light. And what is the fruit of light? Verse 9 tells us, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And this involves what pleases the Lord. That's what verse 10 tells us. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that what we need to concentrate on? What is really pleasing to the Lord if we call Him Lord? Now Paul again emphasizes his desire to see us not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. He emphasizes this in verse 11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. But non-participation is not enough. And I want you to see this, folks. Non-participation is not enough. Sometimes that's where we stop. And we're saying to ourselves, non-participation is enough. And we pat ourselves on the back there. But Paul takes it a step further now. Look at verse 11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. Here's a challenge for you. And it's a challenge for me. You see, non-participation is not enough. We have to take a step further of exposing deeds of darkness, Paul is telling us. And this word expose that Paul uses here is very interesting. It means to reprove. It means to bring conviction. I want you to look at a couple of other texts here with me. Keep your finger in Ephesians 5 and turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The Gospel of John in chapter 16 and verse 8. John 16:8. Here Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says, or he tells us or outlines for us the work of the Holy Spirit when he comes. John 16:8. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Convict. That's the same word Paul uses. Don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them, reprove them, bring conviction. You see, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. There's a work there that needs to be done. And the Holy Spirit is involved in that work. Again, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. I want you to see how this works. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Here is the command of Jesus Christ. Reprove your brother. Expose the sin. You see, this is what Jesus is saying. Bring a conviction. Set forth the evidence so that the individual sees his sin and is convicted. That's what has to take place. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn back there now if you would. Ephesians 5:11. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Bring a conviction. Reprove those who are in sin. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed, when they are convicted, when they are reproved by the light. For everything that makes manifest is light. Now, if you've got the New American Standard Version, I changed it a little bit on you. The New American Standard Version says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. I don't think that's the proper translation. The King James Version says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. For whatever manifests, whatever shows, exposes is light. And I want to tell you, there's a tremendous challenge here. Because, friends, if we are light in the Lord, if we are really light in the Lord, we don't stop simply at non-participation in the deeds of darkness. We will expose them because we are light in the Lord. Are you light in the Lord? Verse 8 says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Be an imitator of God, Paul says in this regard. Well, that's kind of a long introduction, isn't it? Because that brings us down to verse 14 then. Notice verse 14. For this reason, because of all that has gone before, for this reason, because it is a Christian duty to be light as God is light. Because it is a Christian duty to expose sin. Because this is a Christian duty. Therefore, he says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, some of the versions have it this way. For this reason, it says, the King James Version says, for this reason, he says. Oh no, does the New American Standard Version put it that way too? For this reason, he says. I should have my bulletin out. I think it was written in the bulletin. At any rate, I think that's the better translation. Because, my friends, what's happening is this. This is God's call. This is Christ's call. And we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And what is God saying? What is Christ saying? Awake, sleeper. Awake, sleeper. That's what Christ is saying. Do you realize that today people, in general, are asleep? That they're really asleep? They're like the 10 virgins. You remember that story in Matthew 25, don't you? Here were these 10 virgins who were waiting for the Lord to come. And they slept. They fell asleep. People are sleeping today. They're comfortable. They're comfortable with their jobs. They're comfortable with their families. They're comfortable with their homes. They're comfortable with their friends. They're content. Not concerned with eternal things. And so the call comes.
Wake up. Wake up.
Things are not as they seem, friends.
In the mid-1700s, there came upon this land with something which has been called the Great Awakening. And for years, literally, I considered that time to be a great revival. I don't think that's the case anymore. And I think history will bear that out. It was an awakening, though. A time of great awakening where individuals, people like you and me, began to see their peril before God and their need of salvation in Jesus Christ. Not all of them were actually revived. Not all of them came to Christ. But there was a time of massive awakening in terms of what Paul is talking about here. People were brought under deep conviction by the Holy Spirit. And they began to see their need of Jesus Christ. You see, one of the things we as individuals, as Christians, are to be involved in is bringing awakening. Again, verse 11 tells us, "And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." We are to tell people, look, wake up. Things aren't as they seem. You may believe that you are on a soft road that is going to heaven. But I want to tell you, friend, you're going in the opposite direction. And the reason I'm confident of that is that the Bible says immoral persons will not inherit the kingdom. You need to understand that. And you need to seek the Lord. We need to be busy about that kind of work. Verse 14 again says, "For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead." You do know what the problem of individuals is in the world, don't you? They are not only asleep. Turn back in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." People are dead. Dead in sin. Verses 4 and 5 tell us, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Dead people don't save themselves. Only God can save them. And the call comes, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead." I think what Paul is telling us here is simply this, that the call of Jesus Christ comes, and it comes in this fashion, "Awake and arise from the dead." Only Jesus Christ can give that call in an effective manner. You remember how Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus. And the people, after Jesus said, "Roll away the stone," the people said, "He's been in there 4 days, Lord, and he stinks. You want to open that tomb up now? Open it up." And the Bible says Jesus wept. And you can imagine he was caught up in the emotion of the situation. And then he calls out, "Lazarus, come forth. Arise from the dead." And he came out of that tomb. Jesus Christ called him forth, and he did come forth. Spiritually, my friends, people like you and me need to be called forth from the grave of sin and death. Jesus Christ needs to say to you and to me, arise from the dead. And when Jesus Christ says to you and to me, arise from the dead, we do it. We are born again to a living hope through the resurrection. When Jesus Christ speaks those words. And so what do I need to say to you? I need to say to you, you need to be raised from the dead. I need to be raised from the dead. We not only need to wake up to the fact that the situation is not as we seem, as it seems, we need to be raised from the grave of sin and death. We need to be born again. You must be born again. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. How in the world is a person going to be raised from his slumber and raised from the grave of sin? That person must be brought under conviction. That person must begin to seek the Lord. And we need to tell people to seek the Lord. I'm going to talk more about this, but I think there are a lot more people under conviction out there in the world than we're ready to admit. I really believe this is the case, and we're brushing it off. And we're not telling these people the thing that we should tell them, to seek the Lord. We need to tell them to seek the Lord, and in the process of their seeking the Lord, God may illumine their hearts to see the wonders of Jesus Christ. I want to look at two more passages of Scripture very quickly, which I'll review. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Second Peter 1:19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which we do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in their hearts." We need to encourage people to seek the Lord by reading the Scriptures, and we need to pray with them that their hearts will be illumined so that they will see the glory of Jesus Christ. And my friend, don't be too comfortable yourself. Don't be too comfortable yourself. You need to be seeking the Lord. I need to be seeking the Lord. You see, as we seek His face, He may be pleased to illumine our hearts. So that the morning star arises and we're illumined. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. You see, as we ply the pages of Scripture then, as we teach the Word of God, it is through the instrumentality of the Word of God that hearts are illumined and then hearts are changed. 1 Peter 1:22 and following, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the Word which was preached to you.
Any of us who have been born again have been born again through the Word of God. Somehow, it has been through the application of the Word of God to your heart and to my heart. We are not born again otherwise. It is through the instrumentality of that Word, friends. That is the Word which was preached to you, which you read, or whatever Peter is saying. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 now. You see, Peter puts all this together. Paul puts all this together in Ephesians 5. He wraps it together in a neat package. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper. You've got to be awakened from your slumber. You've got to have Christ shine in your heart to see the glory of the gospel. And you've got to be raised from the dead. Every person needs to have this happen to them if they're going to go to glory, if they're going to go to heaven. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Oh, friends. Maybe you discern that I can get a little worked up on this subject here. But we all need to get worked up on it. You do. I do. The church does. Because if we're going to see people converted to Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be imitators of God, we're going to have to be busy about the work of saying to people, wake up. You need to be born again. You need the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And unless these things happen by the grace of God, you're headed in the wrong direction. Seek the Lord, dear friend. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need to explore this more fully. I pray that You'll forgive me for not being the kind of light in the world that I ought to be. I've claimed to be light, but I really haven't been. Forgive me of that. I pray, God, that for each one of us here, that we might come to grips fully with what we're talking about. If there's any of us here, Father, that are content and slumbering and need to be awakened, bring that conviction, Father. If there are those of us here who need our hearts illumined by the Holy Spirit so we see the wonders of Jesus Christ, oh God, bring that illumination. If there are those of us here, Father, who need to be raised from the grave of sin and death, oh God, do that work. We pray. May there be a great awakening in our midst. And in the midst of that awakening, may there be genuine renewal and revival. And Father, I pray, even as we go a few minutes overtime this morning, that we might not be so concerned with the clock, but might be more concerned about seeking Your face.
Help us in that. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.